Let's get in the Word, shall we? Praise God. The title of this series, which we started last week, is called Choose It or Lose It. Choose It or Lose It. That's the series title. Now, I'm not going to refresh on the message from last week, but what this is about is us choosing consciously, willfully, with the understanding of what we have, our new identity. But it's also understanding this is what we don't get, okay? We don't get what our new identity is. We don't get the picture of it. We don't have anything to visualize to say, this is who I am. We know we're new creations in Christ Jesus, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is a fact. But what we don't get, and this is why we struggle so much, we struggle continually grasping hold of all the promises of God, which in Him are yes and amen. I mean, He's not holding back anything. We struggle with it because we don't get the picture of who we are. We don't get the picture of this identity. We know we're new, but we have bits and pieces and smatters of understanding of what this new identity is. And that's what I'm purposing with us, is to build the picture of our new identity. So today's title for Christmas is called flip-flop. Amen. Flip-flop. Now, I don't mean the shoes or the footwear, all right? But I want to talk about how we flip-flop from one identity to another, how identities work, how Jesus did, and I'm going to flip-flop back and forth between several things, all right? But the idea, I want you to understand that I'm going to continue, at least for a little bit, to try to paint the picture so it gets into our minds and can get into our hearts of our identity, what it really looks like. Because we look in the mirror and we go, same old, same old. Same person, different day, right? That's not true. It's not true at all. You see, we don't see the picture of who we are superimposed in the mirror. That's what we don't get. It's important that we get this, because once you get that picture of your new identity, you'll begin to live in boldness, confidence, and faith. You'll begin to receive by grace, God's grace, or through His grace, healings, and you'll be able to see the power of God work through you. You'll be able to see when you pray the answers to your prayers manifest. You'll be able to see financial increase. You'll be able to see needs met. You'll be able to see, you'll be the sought after. Amen. Just like Jesus on this earth was. Because that is the picture of yours and my identity. No, we're not God. I have to make sure that this goes on the podcast, because inevitably and invariably, somebody will take and twist it and say, you're saying we are God. No, I am not. Okay? That's why I want to be careful to paint this picture and paint it so it cements. Okay. I'm going to start here. Luke, please. Luke chapter 2. We're going to talk about Christmas for a moment. We're going to talk about it in a little bit different way. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 10. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's a powerful statement. And I want to say this part. Jesus chose to give Himself as a gift to us so that we could choose Him. Now would you turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus made a choice to be born as a man. He didn't have to do it. He made a choice to do it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And Paul is saying to us very clearly and very directly, let this mind, this thinking, this attitude be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He did not consider it something to be held on to tightly, not letting go, but keeping it to himself. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Praise God. Here's a synopsis. Jesus chose a lower identity so we could have a higher. I want that to sink in. He chose to become like us. I mean, he was out without sin, but he chose to take our identity on so that we could become like him. He became a template of our new identity in him so that we can do what he did. We can live how he lived. We can have a relationship with the Father. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. These are why we can do the things that we do and live the way that we do. This is why we can live in the freedom that we can. This is why we don't have to be bound to anything on this earth. And this is why we don't have to be subject to what the culture or our families or our feelings or the circumstances dictate to us. Because we are in him. And he is in us. And as I said last week, our lives are stuffed into him. And the old part may or may not be destroyed. May or may not be gone. This is the problem that we have. Jesus chose to take on our identity so we could take on his. That's the difference. That's the flip-flop. Paul wrote, Dr. Paul. Paul was the doctor of graceology. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 3 and 4. He explains this. And Paul says, do you not know? And in the Greek means, do you not understand? Now this presentation, when Paul asks this question, do you not understand? He's trying to drive home a point to us. He's trying to make this clear what happened to us when we got born again. Because when we got born again, everything changed. Everything changed, but we still don't see it because we don't have this picture of our identity and what it really is. Just pieces and parts. Paul says, do you not understand that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We died. We died. The old died. The old person died. The old identity was put to death. Everything about us was baptized into his death. And then verse 4, he says, step two, then we were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, 3 nights, we were buried with him in this as we're transitioning through to the next step. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk, or we should live in the Greek. It's to live our life in the newness of life. What in the world is the newness of life? Because so many believers are not seeing it. Yeah, I know. I'm a new creation in Christ. Yeah. I don't know what that means. My life isn't any different. Things haven't changed. I don't see anything different. What's the big deal? I'm going to heaven. Great. Can't come fast enough. That's the attitude for a lot of believers. Get me out of this world. To walk in the newness of this life is to walk in this life in that newness, in that new identity. But the reason we don't do it, with all the benefits and all the power and love and compassion and peace and joy and happiness and authority and health and prosperity and freedom, we don't do it because we do not get it. We need the picture. That's why it's so difficult to live in the newness of life. God really wants to make this so simple to us, and we complicate things by not really understanding. It's important that we ask questions. You know, it's important that we ask questions when we get in the Word. Ask questions about, study things out. And if you don't know where to go, ask somebody. I've been through this transition of my identity for a long time. And it continues to get defined and refined today. It's still going. It gets bigger, better, deeper, more. Because as big as God is, as big as Jesus is, and as big as he was on the earth, this is what we have to look forward to, walking in this newness of life, bigger, better, more. If we're willing to understand, remember, choose it or lose it, right? We have to choose this. And I'll tell you why. I said this last week, and I want to share this. I want to make this crystal clear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Jesus is speaking to somebody, and he says, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now you think about this, and you go, okay, that means I got to get born again. I become this new creation. Well, I'm going to read this in the Greek. Okay, this is paraphrased, but this is the meaning of the Greek meaning of this particular scripture. And this is all in context. He who chooses makes a choice and keeps hold of his lower life. That's what our old identity is. We'll destroy it. We'll bring on ourselves, it's not God doing this, but we'll bring on ourselves destruction. We'll bring on ourselves turmoil. We'll bring on ourselves, you know, I mean, we'll allow sickness and disease to be a part of our life. Not wanting to, but not understanding our new identity because we've still chosen to live in this old identity. We're kind of back and forth in it. I'm new, but I don't really know what new is. I don't understand the new, and I live in the old because it's easy. I'm comfortable. Or it's subtle and I'm used to it. Or I struggle with living in the new identity because I haven't chosen to live in it. And we flip-flop. He said, he who chooses and keeps hold of his lower life will destroy it. That's what happens. It gets destroyed. And he who destroys, please hear this, destroys. This destruction in the Greek means to obliterate. You know what obliterate means? I mean smash it. Smash it to the atomic level. There's nothing left. He who destroys his lower life or his lesser identity for my sake will acquire and obtain the higher life that I've made and given. That's how this works. We settle for a lesser identity. If you do not choose, this is the potent part of this scripture, if you do not choose, each one of us, if we don't consciously choose our new higher identity, a lesser identity will be substituted for us. We'll accept that. We will, instead of living in the higher identity that God has given to us, provided to us, made us new to live in this newness of life, then we will settle for and really be given a lower, lesser identity based on the world, the culture, our feelings, our circumstances, and so on. It is really, really, really important that we choose this higher life, this higher identity than what we've been settling for. You know, I'm going to take a little side journey here for a moment, but I've always liked Janis Joplin. Yeah. I just like her. I've always loved her voice, and that is a funny thing to say about on Christmas, okay? But I always liked Janis Joplin. Always have. Now, let's. Janis Joplin, if you don't know anything about her, besides a real different, incredible voice, singing voice, she was racked with fear and insecurity because of the identity that she settled for. What was given to her was a lesser identity. She had opportunity for a higher life, a higher identity. And let me give you a little background. In her life, when she was in high school, she was voted on the campus, and there were posters and stuff put out as the ugliest man on campus. Is that hurtful? Yeah, devastating. And she went through a lot of rejection. She had problems with acne. She was called terrible names. And as the result of this lesser identity, she lived her life out to 27 years old until she died of a heroin overdose. She lived on the identity that was given to her, and that's what she chose to live in. And she settled for, and it destroyed her. Okay? This is what we do as Christians, if we don't have a picture of who we are in Jesus Christ. And this is what happens if we don't destroy the lower identity or the lower life and choose to live in the higher identity. In order to choose it, we need a picture. Okay? Because if you don't choose it, you lose it, realistically. This is why it's just incredibly important, because this is where it's really built in us as Christians. When parents and grandparents, you have the most important job in building that higher identity in your kids and grandkids. It is everything that you do and everything that you say builds or lessens that identity. This is how important this is. You have a incredible responsibility, incredible job in doing this for your kids and grandkids is to build them up in who they really are in Him. Okay? It's most important. Can we get the heat kicked up a degree? Thank you. I want to give you one more example in Matthew chapter 8. If you want to go there, Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. There was a follower of Jesus who came to him and said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father, then I'll follow you." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Ooh, that sounds harsh. It's like, make that decision and do it. Now, let me give you the backdrop as far as Jewish culture goes. When this man said to Jesus, "I'll follow you, but let me first go bury my dead. Okay, let me go take care of this." And we think, well, you know, okay, you're going to be gone 3 or 4 days, or maybe take a week off and have a little grieving time for a couple of days, and then you're going to come follow me. It'd take about a week, right? No. In the Jewish culture, this is what Jesus was dealing with. There are two burials for every person. There's the first burial where they're wrapped and put away into a tomb of some kind, and then the body is allowed to decay. And it has to decay or decompose to the point where there's only the skeletal structure left. Now that takes, there's 4 stages of decomposition, which I'm not going to go into, but it gets pretty icky. But I will say this, for all the time that it took that body to decay, that person isn't buried yet. Once the body is decayed and down to the skeletal structure, the bones are picked up and they're put into an ossuary, which is a little container, like kind of like what we have with caskets, put into an ossuary, and then it's buried the second time, or they're buried the second time. So the whole total time of this takes a year to 2 to 2.5 years. So this man said, "Let me first go bury my father." And Jesus said, "Follow me now, or let the dead bury their own dead." What Jesus was saying to him was this, and I'm going to use it like this. You need to make a choice to leave your culture, your identity. Well, culture is a hard thing to leave, isn't it? A choice to leave your family and all the identity that comes with this. Come follow me, and this is for us, and learn to live in your new identity. Come follow me and do that, and do it now. It's an abrupt choice that he had to make. I can go spend a couple of years waiting for the decay of my father and then bury his bones a second time, and then I can, I'll catch up with you and follow you. Or I can receive you, Jesus, and I can walk with you now, and I can learn to live in the new identity you're teaching your disciples to live in. He gave him a choice. Now what he chose, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say. But that's the choice we always have. We can learn to walk in that new identity or not. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, don't go there. Jesus said to Matthew, he's a wealthy tax collector. Tax collectors were usually crooked. And extorters. Traitors, not the kind of people you'd like to be around. The Jews hated them. Roman collaborators. And Jesus said, "Matt, come and follow me." And Matthew closed his books, turned it over, got up, dusted off his feet, and left that and followed Jesus for the rest of his life until he was martyred. What Matthew did was turn his back and destroyed his old lesser identity. He destroyed it. And he learned to live in this newness of life, this higher identity, by following Jesus. That's what he did. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What do we think that means? Well, I'm just going to go do the things that Jesus did. Or at least I'm going to attempt to, because I don't know if everything's going to work. If I pray for people, are they really going to get healed? If I deliver the gospel message, are anybody ever going to really hear me? Or am I going to be able to live successfully and victoriously no matter what comes into my life? Or am I going to have receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Am I really going to speak in tongues? Questions. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, the Anointed One. I want you to imitate me, use me as a template, but don't imitate me as a person. Imitate me imitating the one whose ID, whose identity I've taken, the higher life. Paul was following Jesus in Jesus' identity on this earth. That's what he was doing. You see, when we choose, and it is a conscious choice, to live in this new identity, when Colossians says your life is hidden in him, then we really don't exist anymore. And we have, by choice, destroyed our old identity. And we have chosen to live in that higher life. And so this picture that we have being in him is Jesus superimposed on us. That's really what it is. Do you get the picture? Right now, you're looking at me, right? It ain't me. No, really. It's not me. Because I know that my identity, my old identity is destroyed. And every time it tries to resurface or surface again, I destroy it. I choose to. Because I will not settle for a lower life. But I choose, and my choice is the higher life, his identity is the higher life. The picture of Jesus on this earth, doing what he did, living how he lived, speaking how he spoke, dealing with people, working with people, helping people, giving, laying down his life, and on and on and on, that is our identity. When we see us, we should see Jesus. When we see him, we should see his ability. That's what we should see. Not us. And this should be a continual reminder for us. I have to speak to myself every day. I declare every day I choose the higher identity. This is what I do. And I'm not 100% successful. Sometimes my flesh gets in the way. And I have to reject it, stomp it out, and choose. And this is what, when things happen, things try to come on me or things happen in our lives, and you think that pastors just go through and pretty much, You just walk through. It's kind of like walking through a stream. And everything flows off. That doesn't. We're just like you. There's no difference. But I choose every day the higher life, the higher identity, because that's who I am. Jesus superimposed on me and his ability through me. That's his grace. And that's the power of his grace. Matthew chapter 11, I've got time for this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And this has always been a kind of a confounding, confusing scripture because it's hard to translate from the Greek and the Aramaic into English. But here's the synopsis, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. Here it is. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom, which is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. This is, can I synopsize it even more? We violently choose the higher life. This is not just intentional, something, a good feeling. This is something we take hold of, take the bull by the horns. That's our identity, our higher identity. And we destroy our lesser one that brings destruction in our lives. But we take the higher one that has everything for us and everything flows out of. But it's that violent, and don't take violent as destructive. It's that violent, it's an abrupt choosing. That higher identity, that higher life, and not settling for the lesser anymore. We have to be reminded of this continually because of what comes. Because the world and the flesh and the devil would have us settle for the lesser ID and have destruction in our lives. We don't have to live like this. Jesus' choice to take on the form of our identity made it possible for us to choose to take on his. And all the provision that comes within that new identity by grace through faith. For born again, if you are born again, knowing Jesus is choosing a different identity and destroying the old continually. Again, if we don't choose the higher identity, a lesser one will be given to us. All too often, Christians, followers of Jesus, settle for so much less than what he paid for. Than what he gave. This new identity is one of the most crucial areas of understanding, as Paul wrote. Don't you understand? It's one of the most crucial areas of understanding that we need to have if we're going to live in the victories and the promises of everything that he paid for by grace. It is crucial. For us, for life, to choose that higher life and destroy the old. 1 John 4:17, last scripture. 1 John 4:17. The context of this is about love. That God is love, and everything he does and everything he's about is love. But he makes a statement, John does, in here. And he says, we can shut that heat off now. John says, 1 John 4:17, as he is, as Jesus is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world, in this life. As he is, so are we in this life. In every single area. You think you're deficient in some areas? I shared last week, you know, you're looking at an introvert. I'm telling you. I couldn't say boo. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got to hide from everybody and everything. Insecure? Oh, my gosh. That's a lesser identity. My higher identity is bold and confident and compassionate and full of power and joy and love and peace, and it goes on, no matter what. When Jesus was in the boat and he was asleep with the disciples and the boats are rocking and the waves are blowing and the storms are coming, and I thought, how can you be asleep? And they were thinking, we're going to die. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Because Jesus understood his true identity was God. His disciples were learning the truth of their real identity and being able to be at peace, no matter what storm happened. That's a part of our higher life. As he is, so are we in this world. How do you do this? How do you live this way? Remember, we were made, Deuteronomy 28:13, to live above and not beneath. That's a new identity. That is the identity that we have. That is not just something we do. It's our identity. How do you do this? Number one, choose your higher identity. Now, this is a conscious decision. Everybody know what a conscious decision is? It's one you make willfully. You know what you're doing. You understand what you're doing. You accept what you're doing. And you do it. That is a conscious decision followed by an action. Make a conscious decision to choose that higher identity. This has to be something that you do. Nobody can do it for you. Your family can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your kids can't do it. You can't do it for your kids. We have to do it personally. Number two, you have to choose to believe you have it. Without doubt, without question, if it's given to you and you are it, you have to choose to believe you have it. That's all. The Lord's made this easy. Number three, and this is what I have to do. Reinforce it over and over and over and over. This isn't a one-shot deal. You get my drift, right? Reinforce it over and 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 over until you actually believe it. When you look in the mirror and you see Jesus and his ability in you. When you face those circumstances and you go, oh, I can do this. It's your ability, and I have your identity. When I go before the Father, when I pray, I'm going before the Father. Yeah, it's me, but I'm going before the Father in Jesus' identity. I'm his son. I'm a co-heir with Jesus. There's been an identity change that I have chosen, given to me, but I've chosen it. We all have to do this. So get reinforced in it over and over. This is Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the reason we do this is so that it gets into our hearts. Our minds and our hearts work together in this. It's not just our head. Okay? Our hearts have got to be on board. Finally, James 2:20, you act on these choices. Well, what does that mean? That means that every time you face something, let's just say somebody comes to you for prayer and they need a breakthrough in their life in some area. Are you going to pray for them? They say, I want you to pray for me. Yeah, but I don't know all the forms. And man, I don't know all the stuff. And I don't have all the scriptures. And I don't have all the... You have the identity of Jesus Christ given to you. You have his faith. You have all that he is in ability working through you, regardless of whether you get the words right. When you pray for somebody, I've said this before, when I pray for somebody, things change. I expect it to. What's gotten bigger? When you pray for somebody, you have the same thing I do. That's why we see miracles in this church. When you pray for somebody, it's Jesus praying for them. He's just using your tongue, touching them with your hand, but it's his identity and ability working through you. Because you've destroyed your lesser life. Make sense? Okay. So, James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. Every time you have the opportunity to share your higher identity, or when you face circumstances yourself and you get to walk or live in this newness of life, you get to present your new identity, your higher identity, to the circumstance. And guess what? Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me? I expect a renovation in lives in this church like none of us have ever seen. I really do. I expect changes in lives and circumstances in mighty ways because of your identities and really being able and choosing to live in them. So instead of flip-flopping back and forth, destroy the old, choose and live in a higher. Conscious choice, okay? Amen. Now, we're going to say something here together because there's power in our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. And they that love it will eat its fruit. And every time we speak, our heart changes. Circumstances change. Circumstantially, the mountains are moved, modified. Health changes. Finances change. Because we're speaking from a higher identity that we've chosen to live in. Amen? Amen? All right. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you would and say this with me. From the knowledge, the understanding of your higher identity. In the name of Jesus, I now declare that I live in my higher identity, my higher life, and I destroy and obliterate the lesser life that has plagued me, and it will plague me, it will bother me, it will hinder me no more. No more. I declare by faith
that I will do
everything
Jesus did
on this earth.
Because as He is,
so am I in this world.
Now,
today,
my new identity
is being built
in my mind
and in my heart,
and it looks like
Jesus.
That's who I am
in Him.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the gift,
this most gracious, incredible,
eternal gift
you have given us
in you, Jesus.
Thank you
for coming to this earth,
taking
our identity
so that
we can choose to
live in the higher
identity in you.
Lord,
we love you.
I thank
you for you
more than
anything else in this
life.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Prayer team,
come on up.
You want a breakthrough
today?
Anybody want a Christmas
present?
Besides what
we already have?
If you want
a gift
from the Lord
today,
get up here.
Because
they are primed
and ready
to help you receive.
Praise
God. Keep coming.
You know what? Keep coming.
I don't care if
you fill this front.
Yes.
Come expecting.
Yes.
You won't be disappointed
because God
never disappoints.
Amen? Amen.
You're dismissed.
Have a
Merry Christmas.
And
share your new identity
with everybody around
you. Amen.
Praise God.